Hello, welcome to another episode of Reflections on the Scriptures. My name is Murray Shanks. Over the years, particularly in my work as a pastor, there have been so many times when I felt prompted by the Lord to go and do this or that, only to find that when I acted on that prompting, that was precisely where I needed to be at that time. I remember one occasion a few years ago, I was working in my office at the church and I felt the Lord say to me, "Go up to the hospital. Shantini needs you to help her get Jeff home." Jeff and Shantini were a couple in our local congregation. Now, I knew that the day before, Jeff was unwell and that he'd been admitted to hospital for a blood transfusion. But I kind of thought that this would have been all done by now and that Jeff and Shantini would most likely be home from hospital already. For a brief moment, I considered ignoring that word in my head and continuing with what I was doing. But then I remembered all the other times when I'd responded to God's voice, where I discovered that he had in fact been speaking to me. So I put down what I was doing and drove the short distance over to Wyong Hospital. I asked at reception for directions to his ward, half expecting to be told that he'd already gone home, and then headed up to Ward 4 where I was told he would be. I found his bed and greeted Jeff and Shantini, and as I was sitting down next to the bed, the doctor walked up and said rather offhandedly, "Jeff, you're right to go home." A few minutes later, I was walking out of the hospital with Jeff while Shantini went to retrieve their car. I then followed them home and helped get Jeff settled. As I drove home, after a very simple, somewhat mundane, unspectacular little piece of pastoral work, it struck me once again, God does continue to speak to us if we're willing to listen and obey. And that often, what God is calling us to do is very ordinary and everyday by nature. And as we all, God's people, listen to his voice and respond, doing these very ordinary, everyday kind of things within our fellowship and within our communities, he thickens them up, making more of our lives as they are woven together under his guidance. Today we come to a passage in Acts where we will see this very truth illustrated in the life of Philip and, of all people, an Ethiopian eunuch making his way home after worshipping in Jerusalem. Today we come to a passage in Acts which flows out of the wave of great persecution which broke out in Jerusalem in the first months of the early church. If you've been listening to the last couple of episodes, you'll remember that following the murder of Stephen, the early church scattered throughout the regions around Jerusalem. And last week we read about Philip travelling to Samaria to share the gospel. We read about how Peter and John went to investigate this news, and there they found a whole heap of Christ followers who needed to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And then as Peter and John laid hands on them and prayed for them, they witnessed the Holy Spirit falling upon these new converts with power. As that happened, it started to sink in. The gospel really is for everyone, even the Samaritans. Well, Luke then records this story of the Ethiopian eunuch. So let's open the Word of God to Acts chapter 8, praying that his Spirit would speak into our lives today. Acts 8 verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.' So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, 'Go to that chariot and stay near it.' Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. 'Do you understand what you're reading?' Philip asked. 'How can I?' he said, 'unless someone explains it to me.' So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. 'He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth.' The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. Okay, let's work back through this passage. Verse 26 says, "Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, 'Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza.'" God spoke to Philip and asked him to do something which must have seemed, well, somewhat bizarre. I mean, more than a little dangerous. To head out onto a desert road on your own in the first century was probably not the best idea. This was a lonely road where individuals were particularly vulnerable to attack. That's why people tended to travel in groups. In fact, the best scenario for a lone traveller was probably that you would not meet anyone on your journey. I imagine Philip may well have said, "What?" I mean, when God's word came to him, he must have said, "What, go south to the desert road? Surely, I must be imagining this. Surely you can't be serious, Lord. The desert road? There will be no one on that road." Yet regardless, Philip went. He obeyed the word of the Lord, and he went south on this desert road toward Gaza. So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch and an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." How unusual, how unlikely for Philip to meet the treasurer of Ethiopia returning from worshipping at the temple in Jerusalem. Now, this guy is interesting for a number of reasons, which speak into the greater context of what the Holy Spirit was teaching the early church at this time. Remember in the verses just prior to this passage, we looked at them last episode, the Holy Spirit was emphasizing that the gospel really is for everyone, even the Samaritans and, well, now even an Ethiopian eunuch. This guy was interesting, firstly, because he was a Gentile, and secondly, because he was a eunuch. This guy was banned from worshipping in the temple on two accounts. Firstly, Gentiles were banned from the inner temple courts on pain of death. And secondly, so was anyone who had had their genitals removed. Do you see why the Holy Spirit seems to have picked this particular guy and this particular conversion story for this part of the Bible and the book of Acts? He was banned from entering the inner temple on two accounts, yet he still made a long pilgrimage from his own country all the way up to Jerusalem to worship. Now, somehow, I mean, we aren't told how, somehow this Ethiopian treasury official had come into possession of a portion of the Old Testament scriptures. And as Philip caught up with him, he was reading aloud from the book of Isaiah. Once again, the Holy Spirit spoke to Philip and clearly said, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." I guess this may well have been another unusual, somewhat risky thing for him to do. One can't really imagine that a high-ranking official of another country, particularly the treasurer of Ethiopia, answerable directly to their queen, would have not had an escort, a bodyguard, as they travelled the lonely desert road from Jerusalem down to Gaza. As Philip approached his chariot, he may well have wondered how this was going to end. I mean, was he going to have his head removed before even getting close to the treasurer? Would they allow Philip to come anywhere near the chariot? Yet that is exactly what God told him to do. God said, "Go to the chariot and stay near it." So that's what he did. And as he did that, As he was obedient to the word of the Lord, he heard the treasurer reading from the book of Isaiah. Philip must have had a smile on his face, a bit like me at the hospital visiting Jeff and Shantini. God really did speak to me. And as he drew near, he must have heard the man speaking and thought to himself, "Hang on a minute, I know those words, I know what he's reading. He's reading from the prophet Isaiah. He's reading about Jesus, Isaiah's suffering servant. I can't believe this. Who would have thought that I'd come across this stranger, this Gentile, this funny-looking foreign official in the middle of nowhere and find him in the very act of reading about our Jesus?" Verse 30 says, "Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah, the prophet." "Do you understand what they're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I," he said, "unless someone explains it to me?" So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Undoubtedly, this Ethiopian official recognized Philip's Jewish clothing and discerned that he would probably understand what this passage was speaking of. So he invited him up onto the chariot to sit with him. Verse 32, the eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. Let me ask you, if you had to explain to someone about Jesus, and you didn't have the New Testament to start with — remember, the New Testament hasn't been written at this stage, it would be many, many years before the very earliest documents were even written, let alone distributed — if you had to explain to someone about who Jesus is and what his incarnation, his life and death and resurrection meant for the world, what better passage could you possibly imagine starting from than Isaiah 53. This was the perfect place for Philip to start, and that's exactly what he did. He started with Isaiah's words, and then it seems he told the story of God's revelation through Israel's history and how it all came to fulfillment and consummation in Jesus. I imagine Philip may well have used the very scroll laying before them to encourage him as well. You see, he was reading from Isaiah chapter 53, but as you read on, just a little further, you come to chapter 54, where God speaks about a new covenant and about how those who have been put to shame and humiliation will be lifted up and given dignity and honor. I can well imagine this treasury official, though being clearly honored by his high position, also endured a type of shame and humiliation due to the fact that he had been castrated as a young boy against his will. God's word in Isaiah 54 would have been very encouraging for him. And then as they made their way along the road, Philip probably read from chapter 55. "Come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat." And then verse 5, "Surely you will summon nations you know not, and nations that do not know you will hasten to you because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. For he has endowed you with splendor." The Ethiopian must have been thinking to himself, "This sounds as though it has been written for me." But this was written 700 years ago. And then Philip may have moved to the next chapter of Isaiah, where they read, "Let no foreigner who has bound himself to the Lord say, 'The Lord will surely exclude me from his people.' And let not any eunuch complain, 'I am only a dry tree.' For this is what the Lord says, 'To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and hold fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will not be cut off.'" Remember, this guy has just come from the temple, where he would have certainly have been barred from entry to those inner areas and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord, this is verse 6, to serve him, to love the name of the Lord, and to worship him, all who keep the Sabbath without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. This Ethiopian eunuch, this high foreign official, must have been jumping out of his skin as he came to realize what God had done for him through Jesus. Is it any wonder, as soon as they came across a little bit of water, he asked Philip to baptize him? Verse 36 says, as they traveled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized? And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on his way rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared at Azotus and traveled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. It's a wonderful story, is it not? It is a wonderful story at so many levels. It's wonderful because it so clearly shows that the good news really is for everyone. It's wonderful because it shows God organizing and arranging things so that even this rank outsider who has spent his days on the very fringes of the kingdom is found and welcomed in. It's wonderful because it shows how God whispers to us as we are willing to listen to him and as we obey. Philip must have wondered what on earth God was up to when he told him to go on down to this lonely spot. But afterwards, he must have been laughing and rejoicing at the wonder of it all. My question for you today is simply, what has God been saying to you recently? What is he saying? And are you listening to him? If he's speaking and you're listening, are you obeying him? Are you putting legs on what God is saying to you today? May the Lord bless you as you consider these questions from his word. Amen.